You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. I'm joined by Trish McFarlane. Trish, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you today?
I am well. I'm glad you're with us on the show, scrambling around, driving all over the country, the town. You're everywhere. You're busy, but we've got you. We've corralled you for half
an
hour.
That's right. Things I do for this show, I tell you what. It's funny. It's this time of year. I'm sure everybody listening probably goes through this. It's sort of like the last couple of weeks before all the real holidays start kicking in, everyone's really trying to, get all the client meetings done and get everything, sort of sorted out, because once the end of the month comes, everybody's kind of useless for a week or two. So, yeah, so it's a lot of that in my world this week.
Some of us are useless far, far sooner than the last 2 weeks.
Oh, are you one of those?
I know. Not me. No, not me at all.
That's funny.
Keeping quite busy. Actually, much busier December shaping up for me than typically in years past, which I can't complain about. A really good thing. We're actually, Trish, kicking off HR Technology Conference planning next week, which is amazing to me.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like I just left the conference.
That's like a month early, isn't it?
It's significantly
December kind of to not think about that.
It's significantly earlier. We're going for bigger and better things, of course, each year. HRTechnologyConference.com. Learn more about that. So, hey, real quick, Trish, no more events to update on, right? We're done with events for the year. I think the most important thing maybe we should update or talk about real quick is your Orlando Magic, real quick. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm now becoming a fan as well. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm not my Knicks. I watched your Magic play last night, as a matter of fact, on TV. Had a very nice win against Detroit Pistons. So they're doing really well. So just in case you're people out there wanted an Orlando Magic update, still fighting the good fight for you and your and your children who are
fans. I think, too, I'm going to be in New York the rest of this week, and I thought, that would be a perfect time to try and see the Knicks, because I haven't seen the Knicks or the Nets, either one, in person, and neither one is playing while I'm there, on the nights where I have free, I should say it that way. So, but you'll know what this is. There's some sort of thing at Madison Square Garden where two college games go on.
Yes.
And it's like it's a guy's name. It's like the something something classic. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. It sounds something
like. You know
like
who
familiar.
I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
It was a coach and he had cancer.
Oh,
and
Jimmy V, right?
That's it.
Yes.
That's the Jimmy V. That's it. I knew you'd know if I kind of described it oddly and inappropriately or something. But anyway, that's it. Yeah. So I don't know. I might try and go see some college basketball on
there. All right. Well, good. We need to do a whole sports show. When we have time, Trish, we'll do a whole, maybe when next time before the end of the year, when next time we're together, we'll do a whole basketball show. I'd love to do that.
Gosh, that sounds so fun.
Yes.
Can you hear how excited I am about that?
Speaking of fun, let's get to our real topic of the show today,
which is
not basketball, but it's maybe my second favorite thing to talk about, which is benefits. And I'm not even kidding.
I love benefits. You know that for real. And can I just say, I just saw a whole exchange late last week online from some HR leaders who were kind of talking they really just like doing benefits. I'm like, but I love benefits. Oh. I think it's great. So I'm really excited about our guest today on the show. Can't wait to get him on. So let's do that.
Yeah, let's welcome him. Our guest today is Jonathan Rendy. He's the Chief Research and Development Officer from Castlight Health, which is a fascinatingly interesting company that's been in the space for a few years now, and we'll certainly talk more about Castlight Health. But Jonathan leads all R&D activities at Castlight Health, including product, engineering, information technology and security, strategic data operations, and analytics. Prior to joining Castlight, Jonathan was the Executive Vice President of Products and Marketing at Keynote, a global leader in cloud-based testing, monitoring, and analytics for mobile and web applications. With over 20 years' experience in the industry, Jonathan has held senior-level product engineering and management roles at AppCelerator, HP, Mercury Interactive, and Informix. This includes serving as Vice President and General Manager of HP Software's $1 billion, that's a lot of money, Trish, application lifecycle management business, where he was responsible for engineering and products. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Engineering from the University of California at Davis and an MBA from Santa Clara University. Please welcome Jonathan Randy to the show. Jonathan, how are you?
Very good. Thank you, Steve.
Great bio, Jonathan. And I read it all, I think. I read it perfectly this time. I usually stop in the middle for comments. But hey, great.
Steve, I think he's more qualified than any guest we've ever had on the show.
I know. I got to tell you, I always feel we get these high-powered guests on, and I feel like, oh, geez, man, what have I done in the last 15 years?
But that's up your bio, Steve Bowes.
I know. Well, I do, Jonathan, though. In terms of bio, though, I gotta give you props, though, not just for all your credentials, which are fantastic, but you went with the over 20 years experience, which is something I've long touted as well in the bio writing process. You hit that year number and you stop incrementing each year by one, right? You just go for the over, right? And that's what I've done as well. So
the over under, I go with the over.
That's it. Hey, Jonathan, great to have you. Hey, tell us a little bit more about you, if you don't mind. And more importantly, probably for listeners, because it's been a while since we've had Castlight on the show. Tell us a little bit about Castlight Health and maybe give us the update of what's happening at Castlight.
Sure. No, thank you. It's an honor to be here with you and Trish today. So thank you very much. So I joined Castlight Health about almost 2 years ago now, and I'm responsible, as you were saying, for all of our engineering, our product, really the directions where we place our bets, where we make our investments, and that's really dependent on, you know, what's happening in the market, and the healthcare market is ever-changing, ever-evolving, very dynamic, and so the last year and a half has been super interesting here. Lots of activity. We deal with, you know, almost 200 different major employers and seeing what they deal with on a daily basis and then delivering solutions for them. And in the last year and a half, it's been pretty pivotal for our business. We were originally known as kind of the provider of price and quality transparency. And it was a landmark year in the last 12 months. We really shifted from being known as that to the delivery of a whole new set of capabilities and solutions to address kind of the current challenges and problems that benefit leaders and those teams and those corporations are really dealing with when it comes to healthcare.
Right. Yeah, I remember when I got introduced to Castlight Health a few years ago, right? I mean, I don't mean to downplay that transparency that you brought to the market was remarkable at the time, right? And certainly I don't recall anybody doing it, right? I could be wrong about that, but that's I'm going to choose to remember it that way. And
that's very, very accurate. I mean, I think at that point in time, there was no visibility into price. There's no visibility into quality, and people were having to make healthcare decisions just based on the recommendations. So providing that was a big step. But it was only a first step, and so we've been really focused on a lot of additional steps to solve bigger problems, broader issues that companies are facing now with healthcare as costs just continue to rise.
Right, yeah. Hey, Jonathan, you mentioned the last 18 months or so in a kind of a dynamic time period in this environment and in this market, and I guess just with what's happened in just the last few months, especially with the election and given all the change that we sort of anticipate and the change that may come or may not come, what's your sense of what's going to happen with things like the ACA and maybe that kind of overall regulatory / oversight environment for folks in the benefit space?
Really relevant topic nowadays with all the conversations taking place and a president-elect and his administration being formed. And there were an awful lot of speculation around what will happen, what will be the changes, how will that impact people. So there's just, to your point, a lot of confusion out there, a lot of different views. I think if there is a couple of big things that's clear, it's what we originally started and were known for, and where that's evolving to will just continue to become more important going forward. I think it's interesting to me on this point that you know, the administration, they talk about some of their new plans when it comes to healthcare, and one of the top ones has to do with transparency mm-hmm. and clarity and consumers being able to choose based off of information that's available to them, readily available to them. So I think from that perspective, it's all goodness. And, you know, not getting political in any way, right. That's I think, something independent of where you sit is a good thing, and people would view that in a very nonpartisan way.
Yeah, I think if the focus is going to be, hey, let's get more information, let's get more transparency, let's enable organizations as well as employees to make better decisions, that plays really nicely with what you guys have done for a number of years and what you're continuing to do. And let's hope that's the case. I mean, it could be unsettling though, right? To some extent for organizations and benefits leaders and HR leaders who, or maybe having to answer questions, right? Their employees might be bringing to them about what they think might happen and in the direction that the organization's going to go and around some of these issues when there's so much uncertainty. I don't know, Trish. I think it'd be kind of an unsettling time to be a benefits leader right now.
Well, I think they've been dealing with that though ever since, you know, the last 3 years, four years when everything started changing. So it's, I think, just maybe when benefit leaders started thinking it would calm down a little, it's not. That's all. You know, they're getting very good at being able to sort of navigate the changes as they come along. I think the one good thing though is when you have providers who can help you navigate through that, and can really stay on top of some of the legal issues that come up and provide some guidance and some context around it. That's where, you know, especially if you don't have someone specializing in benefits in an organization, maybe it is just a smaller team, or maybe it is an HR leader who has to handle benefits and other HR activities. Mm-hmm. It helps keep them up to speed when maybe they don't feel like that would be very easy for them to do. So yeah, it's definitely a lot though on the plates of the current benefit leaders and the HR leaders.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. Like I said, I mentioned at the top, I besides basketball, benefits is one of my favorite things. And I spent a lot of time back when I had a real job, Trish. This is not the real job I have now, but when I had a real corporate job, I spent a lot of time on benefits. I really did. And I still recall very fondly working on the project at the place I was at the time, doing our very first online open enrollment process. We introduced that to the place where I was working. You know, mid-sized employer, mm-hmm. maybe 5,000 or so employees-ish, maybe a few more or less. And helping transition folks, even that simple step, that simple sort of technology-driven step into their benefits, gave me an appreciation for the importance of benefits, because I saw firsthand how important it was to all the people, right? We were trying to help that right. were so, you know, concerned and maybe a little scared even, you know, because they were enrolling online for the very first time. Were they making the right decisions? Did everything go through cleanly? You know, are they covered? Are their families covered? Right. And I mean, that's such a huge thing. And so I think, Jonathan, right, some of the solutions that you guys provide in a way, maybe you do think about how important it is to the actual employee users, because I got to think they're among the most important types of solutions that we roll out in HR overall, right? Like solutions that let people engage with their benefits in the best manner possible.
Without a doubt. And it's interesting timing that we're able to talk today, because we've just kind of put the stakes in the ground around all the kind of major investments for the upcoming year 2017. We do our planning on an annual basis, and with, you know, to be honored with so many fantastic logos and customers that we have today, we get an opportunity to go out kind of on an annual basis, talk to them, really interview them, understand what their pain points are, not really talk about just product, but talk about what problems they're trying to solve. And to your point, you know, I think while, you know, our business and the idea of giving people transparency was, you know, top of mind and has been and continues to be an important element. Like, to, I think, Trish, to your point, what's become really clear is the power of guidance and the problem that people are trying to solve just across the board in every organization today around benefits to help people make the right decisions. And if there's, you know, one of the kind of two or three big boulders that we're trying to address and solve for, it's steering people to the right decisions based on their needs. It's guiding them. It's, you know, gone are the days where you can just simply, in a pure consumer context, just say, well, here are a bunch of providers, and here are a bunch of prices, and here are a bunch of quality metrics around that, and okay, go ahead and make a choice.
Right.
You really have to direct and guide people and help them, and that's really where, from a consumer perspective, for an employee of a company, that's what you really have to solve, and that's, you know, in many ways what we've been working at for a long time, and there are some really amazing available technologies and trends and approaches that have never been tried on healthcare before that we're trying for the first time and starting to see some pretty exciting returns.
Jonathan, is some of the consumerization kind of idea reaching into this market as well? And by that I mean, like, lots of folks won't try a new restaurant without reading 17 reviews on Yelp, or you won't buy a new shirt without, you know, reading 37 reviews about that shirt on Amazon or the like. Is that kind of mindset or that approach to that folks are taking, are they taking that kind of approach in their benefits decision-making processes? Are you guys seeing that, or are your customers seeing that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think to the overall question of, can consumer techniques, can consumer approaches apply to the healthcare world? Yes, they can. And yes, they should. And yes, it does deliver improved results. But if it's purely just kind of providing a lot of options and information, it doesn't get to the heart of, you know, one of the things we see over and over again is almost 3/4 of employees don't understand their benefits.
Wow.
They don't understand them, or they, it's shocking. And, you know, we always like to say about healthcare and your benefits that you really don't care about them until you need them. And when you need them, that's all you care about, right? So, given that kind of a situation and episodic, you really need to be targeted. And so, yes, there needs to be transparency as a foundation, but we need to be super, like, thoughtful about reaching the right people at the right time, with the right place, with the right benefits, given it's a very episodic kind of environment. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it does. And I'll tell you, as someone, you know, when I was a practitioner, and those were the kinds of questions we, again, this was years ago, we hoped to be able to get to some of that, but we just didn't have a good, easy way to do that. And so it was a lot of just kind of going off your gut, where I think, you know, hearing about Castlight and sort of how you're working with your current customers, that's where you sort of fill that void that the HR leader or the benefit leader sort of knew the direction they wanted to go, but they just didn't know how to get through those steps to get there. It was a lot of guesswork. Can you maybe just talk a little bit about how you're taking that sort of guesswork out of it from an HR perspective? Because I know we used to kind of think about things like, oh, well, people are maybe now getting to an age where they're starting to have children, or maybe now they've, you know, they might have parents that are elderly, or, like, it's just a lot of things we weren't sure of. How do the tools that Castlight provides to them, how does that sort of alleviate some of that for the companies you work with?
No, it's a fundamental point of what we think about. We go to bed thinking about it at night and wake up in the morning thinking about it. And I think for those benefit leaders, there's really kind of two major areas that they're trying to solve for, that we see over, that I personally see over and over again. And the first is around decision support. So I don't even call it transparency anymore. I call it decision support, because it's much more than what I was mentioning before. It's guiding and helping people. It's providing educational content. It's making available all the information in a world where there are so many different options and so many different parts of their benefit platform for each employer that they need to think about. So it's helping them make the right decisions, not just providing them options. So that's everything around decision support. The second place is, we deal in a world today, like it or not, in the benefits world, that is incredibly fragmented. There are so many different solutions, to your point. There are maternity programs, there are second opinion programs, there are gaps in healthcare programs, there are 24/7 nurse hotline programs. And these poor benefit leaders spend the entire year trying to figure out, in preparation for open enrollment, how are they going to pull together the best design for their employees to help them kind of optimize and get the most out of the programs that they pay for, that they're paying hard money, real, you know, cost out of their business to fund. And so it's one of these things where they can spend all the time in the world designing these incredible plans with all these incredible programs, and then only to find after open enrollment that that event goes by, and those programs and those different healthcare benefits are seeing like single-digit utilization, when there are way more of a segment of the population that can be taking care of, that can be using those, that can be realizing the benefits of those programs. So we've tried to really do a couple of things to solve those kinds of problems. Again, the question came up earlier, what can we do from a, you know, if you look outside of the world of healthcare, which has been known to be a little dated sometimes in its thinking, like what can you apply from the outside world? And if you think of the personalized targeting of information, and again, it gets to the heart of, like, from, if you think of consumer applications, why is it when you go into Amazon to shop for something that everything seems personalized to you, that they happen to know that you might be looking for a baby stroller and you get served up five different options of that? The same core values, the same core capabilities can be offered in healthcare as well. And so we're blessed at Castlight to have so many employers that have so much experience working and so much data that we work with from each of the carriers, that we can help benefit leaders segment their populations and try to figure out, okay, this is the percentage of my population, again, completely HIPAA compliant, completely anonymous, that are considering pregnancies, or this is the folks who are might be or have been experiencing lower back pain for the first time, or ongoing or chronic, and are in danger, more importantly, of having back surgery that can lay them up for months and make them, you know, with possibly not even evaluating earlier options such as physical therapy and chiropractor and all kinds of things that have been proven over and over again to make an impactful to be very impactful to those populations. So what we've really tried to do is to, for the very first time, whether it's diabetes, whether it's lower back pain, whether it's musculoskeletal, whether it's cancer screening, to really give the benefit leaders a real-time window into their populations, into those big cost spends and the parts of their populations that can be related to those, and then provide really an automatic engagement engine that will go out in lots of different channels, not just posters on the bathroom wall, right, but emails and push notifications and in-app kind of messaging that when you pop up, similar to those baby strollers being promoted to you on Amazon, when you log into a central place for your healthcare benefits, that you get an educational prompt on how you can address the beginnings of lower back pain. We're finding just unbelievable results by applying some of those consumer techniques in a targeted, personalized way to a cohort or a segment of a population, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It does. You know, Jonathan, I have sort of a statement and then a question maybe to follow up on that. So from listening to you describe the ways that you're working with the clients that you're working with right now, to me, that's what was most exciting about benefits. It's when you're actually getting to the strategy around how do you make plans better for your employee population, because I always viewed benefits as the way that it was a must-have compared to maybe, you know, certain aspects of HR where it's nice to have. I mean, it was, to me, this was the way, if done well, that you can show as an organization that you care for your employees. And it can be very strategic. And I think a lot of times people don't look at benefits as being very strategic, but the way you just described it, it certainly is and the way you make those decisions. So I guess my question is, you know, for someone like me where I might be very comfortable with Amazon being able to serve up a certain kind of baby stroller, for example, and not be, you know, have any bad feelings about that, or, you know, in the same way that if I go to an amusement park and I'm tracked where I am in the park or whatnot, it's fine with me. But how do you talk to your customers or even potential customers about, what about employees that might be a little hesitant on feeling like, oh, they know all this information about me? I know you've mentioned it's anonymous, and it's certainly, you know, targeting larger populations. It's certainly not down to that individual level. But how do you respond back to potential new customers who might be asking those types of questions, just around how do they get their employees feeling comfortable with having these types of messages served up to them at the right time? Or do you get that question? Does it come up?
We do, and you raise a great point. If you're going to start to send, you know, targeted information to people, one reaction is that's super effective. The other reaction is, wait a minute, how do you know that I might need this? How do you have my information? How is that being presented? Again, we start from the position of, if you like, one of the top concerns of these teams, as you well know, is that, you know, most of them, over 80%, don't feel like they can effectively educate their populations. They don't feel like they can communicate what's available to them and how they can make use of it. And again, going back to my prior point, things are so episodic that if you miss that opportunity, somebody doesn't care anymore. And so being able to identify large segments of the population in a meaningful way is important. So we start from that position. Then the next question is what you're really referencing here, which is all about, like, how is that communication? Like, what's the reaction of that? And so we go through a painstaking process at Castlight where it all comes down to the content. Like, what are you preparing and sharing and putting in front of an employee population? And so that content has to be carefully curated. It needs to be sensitivity tested. It needs to be approved and looked at from medical boards. It needs to be gone through an entire testing process. Just to give you an idea, we don't put out a single piece of content. Each individual piece goes through 40 hours of testing in that particular segment before we even consider putting it in front of a customer. So when an employer raises a concern, we typically show them the type of content to promote, whether it's, a second opinion program or a diabetes testing program or on-site clinics that they want to start to promote. We show them what that information and typically, if it's of an educational nature that piques someone's interest and it's delivered in a timely way and it's generic, it's not tailored to them, it's to a particular item that might be of interest, a typical service that may be of interest, we've seen an incredible result. So we have today, using this technique, well over 1.5 million lives that that are a part of the platform just using this technique, and we're seeing less than a 0.25% of people, of which we give them the opportunity to opt out of any type of communication. We're seeing less than 0.25% of the population ever select, please don't send this email to me, please don't send a push notification to me, etc. Yeah. So we're just not seeing it, when the industry average is in the high single digits to teens. So, again, it gets back to the type of material, the type of content, and then how careful you are with the data, and then how you share that with the employer and how you share the content then with the employee. So we take a lot of pride in that. We've had people raise the concern when we start to walk through and show them what we're sending, and then we walk them through the process and the effort and the investment we go into it. Typically, their response is, we would love for you guys to send this information to our employees, and we want your logo on it. not ours. We don't want to be in the business of creating this type of information. And this is, think of it as light years ahead of putting, you know, posters on the bathroom walls.
Yeah. I think the sensitivity testing, which is really interesting, is probably a big part of that success rate or that low opt-out rate that you mentioned. And I like that analogy, too, of the posters on the walls. The posters on the walls would be great if they were written just for me and only showed up exactly when I walked into the bathroom and information that I needed to see about my particular dilemma as I walked into that bathroom. Then I'd be really interested in it, right? It's kind of the
whole... That would be a neat trick.
Yeah, we could do that.
I was going to say, maybe you've just given them their next product. See, now a year from now, we're going to hear that that's what they're doing. They have electronic bathroom posters or something. So.
Hey. That's $1 million idea, right? I love that idea. Hey, Jonathan, this has been fascinatingly interesting, and I think already I've decided we probably need to have another, like, a follow-up conversation, like, next year. Maybe when some of the ACA stuff starts to unwind a little bit and we start to get a little more clarity about what, if anything, might be happening. But, hey, real quick, for folks who want to learn more about what's happening here, what's happening with Castlight Health, of course, the website's castlighthealth.com. Is there anything else you would kind of just direct HR and benefit leaders towards as they're thinking about 2017 and getting ready to, like you said, you're doing your planning for 2017. Lots of our listeners are sort of in the midst of getting their planning ready for next year. Is there anything else you'd recommend that they do or read or just think about before they head into next year?
Yeah, I think you hit on some of it already. What I would add is we are really investing a lot of time to try to create some super interesting, relevant content around the biggest trends in healthcare. And so we make that available through a few different means on our website that you mentioned, also on Facebook, on LinkedIn. We're making a lot of use of social these days and social media. And so how we leverage that to get in front of the right people, make it easy for them to access all this information, that's what we're really focused on providing right now.
Great, Jonathan. This has been really fascinating. Thanks for joining us today. This is Jonathan Rendy, Chief Research and Development Officer at Castlight Health. Castlight Health, I've been a fan of for a very long time. As I said, when I first got introduced to Castlight Health 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, and just what they were innovating back then, they're innovating now. I'm a big fan. I'll say it. I'm saying it out loud, Jonathan. Big fan of what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
And Trish is as well. She's a benefits person at
and
heart.
Trish. Thank you, Trish.
Exactly. No, at and heart. You know what? I love the idea of having you back on, Jonathan, because I think, too, not only seeing sort of how things start to unwind as the new year comes, but, you know, for a lot of people, I know I've always been a big proponent, you know, they really start by May and June starting to think about planning for if they have fall open enrollment. And so a great time to have you on is sort of before that starts. So I would say definitely, you know, in that February, March timeframe to get them, you know, additional resources and information before they really start into that planning process, because it's just really critical that they get all the tools they need as they're starting to think about it. And earlier, just one final thing I'll say is that it really hit home to me when you talked about how you work with people on their communication, because from experience, I can tell you that's always where the struggle is. It's really how do you communicate with employees in a way where it's sensitive. I love the sensitivity, you know, testing that goes on around the messaging, because I think that's where, as an HR person or as a benefits person, you're not really trained to do that. And even if you work internally with your marketing team, they're not trained to do that piece either very well. And so I think that's where the benefit of working with someone like Castlight is really valuable, because they really do benefit from having those discussions and guidance from you on that specifically. So thanks for sharing that as well.
Oh, my pleasure. And it was really nice. It was great to speak with both of you. It'd be great to get back on in the springtime. There's always a lot of dynamic changes going on, and these are not, you know, these trends are not static. They're not data points in time. They really evolve. And there's, you know, so much going on in the world of mobility, and so much going on in the world of wellness and well-being that's very related and complementary to healthcare. I would love to come back on and maybe dive into a couple of these categories, these subjects, even deeper.
Awesome. That'd be great, Jonathan. We'll make sure to make that happen. And speaking of wellness and well-being, Trish, we got to thank our sponsors, Virgin Pulse. VirginPulse.com. Learn more about what's happening there. Good kind of complimentary kind of set of products and services to what we're talking about today as well. So thanks to our friends at virginpulse.com. And thanks to you, Trish, for carving out a half an hour today. I know it was a challenge, so thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and honestly, I could have talked another hour and a half.
I know.
It's a great topic, and Jonathan's so interesting. So, yeah, I loved it.
Loads and loads of fun. So anyway,
thank you both very much.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks everyone for checking out the show. Remember, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, your favorite podcast app. Just search for HR Happy Hour. All the fun, lots of great stuff coming up. More HR Happy Hour Network shows coming before the end of the year as well, Trish, and probably at least one or two more shows from us as well. So lots of things happening. Thank you everyone for listening to the HR Happy Hour show. We all got to run, so we will we'll see you next time on the HR Happy Hour show. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.